discover the inherent power of God in you.
Whether there are challenges or not, we are still the same. We are constant. God is constant. God does not change. And that is the life that we have received. He says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is the same life we have also received. We are also the same yesterday, today, and forever. What kind of life? We are the same because we have the same life with Christ. So when you think about God, think about you. Because everything He is, that is why He told Abraham, He said, I am your exceeding great reward. God gave Himself as a reward to Abraham. And we are the seed of Abraham. Therefore, we have inherited God Himself.
Listen to Pastor Oti Boateng as Christ is magnified.
Me too much, excellent love.
Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, thank you for your mercy, your grace, your compassion. Thank you for making us your righteousness in Christ Jesus. Thank you for giving us that gift of righteousness, that blessing of Abraham. Thank you for bringing us close, making us friends. Thank you that you are helping us. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your word. This morning we are gathered to hear. We are gathered to be taught. We are gathered to be ministered to. And our hearts are open. Father, speak to us. Father, help us. Father, direct us. Dear Holy Spirit, you are our helper, our comforter, our standby. You are the one that encourages us. You are the one that makes things clear to us. You take the deep things of the Father and make it clear to us to understand and to walk in the light of. And Father, we are here this morning to receive this. We are grateful in Jesus' precious name. And the saints of God said a big amen.
Shout glory! Shout glory! Hallelujah!
I want you to give a neighbor a high five and say, you are welcome to church. And it's a blessing to see you. In Jesus' name. Let's take our seats in heavenly places. What a blessing. What a blessing. Amen. Are you excited to be in church? Yeah, you are welcome. You are welcome. The love of my life is also around. Hallelujah. Amen. It's good to see you here. Amen. Amen. Now let's go into the scriptures. Amen. 7 reasons why you need a shepherd. Yeah, 7 reasons why you need a shepherd. We've done point 1 to 4, isn't it? What was point 1? All right. Anyone? Point 1 was because Jesus said you need a shepherd. It's the most important need apart from being born again, right? After being born again. Sorry? Apart from the Godhead, yes. Then number 2 is what? You need to be fed spiritually as a sheep, innit? What's number 3? Sorry? Leadership and guidance. You are lost. Some of you seem very lost. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. Interesting. You need to listen to the messages. All right. You really need to. Number 4 is what? Care and protection. Now your mouth is very loud. We're going to do number 5 today. Amen. And by God's grace, number 6 and 7 as we get grace for it. Amen. Beautiful. Because every sheep needs a shepherd to present him or her to the Lord. Reasons why you need a shepherd is because every sheep needs a shepherd to present him or her to the Lord. Amen. Because every sheep needs a shepherd to present him or her to the Lord. The Lord loves us. The Lord really loves us. You know the Lord loves us. You know the Lord loves us, loved us before we realized what love was about. You know, when parents give birth to a child, right, they love the child before the child knows what even love is about or even know who the parents are. So the child may not even know this is father, this is mother. But it doesn't change the fact that the child is loved already. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. When we got born again, our father loved us. We are now coming to know his love. Are you following what I'm saying? So, in terms of love, we are now knowing. You know, sometimes we feel like we know love more than God. Yeah, we feel like we are more convicted about love more than God. But actually, God loves us more than we understand. And we are now coming to understand it. Amen. Now, this point is in reference to you getting to know the love of the Father for yourself. Amen. It's actually talking about intimacy. Because, okay, let me just show you a few scriptures. Then you understand where I'm coming from, all right? Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Ephesians 5, 25. Let's go there. Yesterday, we had a retreat. We talked about that a lot. Yeah, so it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Amen. Look at the next verse. We are reading up to verse, maybe 27. Yeah, 27. Let's continue. Verse 26 now. 26, then we'll go to 27. We believe in the ministry, I tell you. We believe in the ministry. Let's start from 25 again, so that it's a flow. So 25, 26, 27. All right, so if we can go there. It says that, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Verse 28 says that, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Amen. Probably look at it in another version just to give you, just to help you. Amen. I'm reading NLT now. I hope you brought a Bible to church. And you husbands must love your wives with the same love Christ showed the church. So if you are dating somebody or you're interested in dating somebody who is not, he doesn't know about God's love or Christ's love for the church, chances are that you are marrying the wrong person. Chances are that. A high chance. Actually, the person will not know how to love you the way you are supposed to be loved. Amen. Anyway. And you husbands must love your wives with the same love Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by baptism and God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she would be holy and without fault. Amen. So, in the context that you're talking about marriage. Are you seeing it? It's talking about marriage. And it's talking about intimacy. When you see a husband and a wife, it's not for business transaction. Do you understand? The major difference between a husband and a wife and a man and a woman is intimacy. What do you think the husband and wife, they do? Intimacy. But it's for intimacy. The major difference between a husband and a wife and a man and a woman or a boy and a girl or whatever group of people you want to describe is intimacy. Husband and wife is for intimacy. It's primarily for intimacy. You can't be in a marriage and your best friends and the people you enjoy and have life with and have intimacy with it outside the marriage. Amen. That's not correct. And the scripture talks about presenting to himself. It means that it's actually talking about how to have better intimacy with each other. Now, many people don't know. I was telling those who were in a retreat yesterday, especially the husbands, that interestingly, in a marriage, the husband is to talk a lot more and is to talk about what he's convicted about. So in a marriage, right, a husband is to talk more. So a wife usually will ask the husband, you say, you are not talking to me, or talk to me, or let's talk, or we are not talking. And the husband may typically say something like, you can say whatever you can say, like whatever it is, let's talk. Are you following what I'm saying? And the husband usually gets confused because the wife is looking for the husband to say something. But the wife may not be able to tell the husband what he's supposed to talk about. Or the husband say, what do you want us to talk about? What do you want us to talk about? Have you experienced it before? How many of you are married here? If you are married, give me a wave. this one, the way the wives have become ready. The wives are very ready for the message. Hallelujah. We teach these things so that even when you may not be married, but start learning it. so that when you get to that time, you would have a more smoother, easier something going on. Amen. The problem in the garden was that Adam was not talking as much as he should. And the lady is designed to talk because the talking makes her go deeper in what is being discussed. So if her husband is quiet, the woman is open to any other thing that is going on around. And a woman's conversation makes her heart go towards that direction more and go deeper in that issue. So ladies, rather, every lady talks, and it's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It's actually a good thing. But so a lady realizes that because of that ability, I need to be careful what I'm talking about. Because if I talk about the wrong thing, even though I know in my head that is the wrong thing, it doesn't change the fact that my heart to go deep into it. So a lady has to guard herself as to what she's talking about. If she starts talking about wrong things, even though in her head she knows, oh, ladies, am I on course or I'm off? Even though she knows in her mind that this thing I'm listening to is not good information, before you realize, her heart has gone into it. And it becomes very difficult to come out of. So one of the things that husbands are to do is to talk, actually. Talk about what you are passionate about. Talk about what God has put on your heart. Make it vivid. Make it clear. Sometimes husbands are assuming that automatically a wife should have the same energy they have for what they are passionate about. But it doesn't work that way. You see, every desire, you know, I used to have I was thinking about desire and all that, and the Holy Ghost prompted me that desires can be grown or cultivated. Most of you, the dressing and the hairstyle, what you have, is actually a desire you had, and it was because of what you saw and heard. It's mainly from what you saw and heard. If you never saw or heard something, there are some things you never do. You know, may not even be wearing what you are wearing. Yeah, it's mainly from, and so that's when the desire came that I think I want to dress this way. I want this. I want that. And the more they advertise it, the more you go for it. So it's so serious that even if they advertise something wrong, you agree to it. If they are persistent about it over a period of time, you agree to it. That's why advertising and all that has a lot of creativity attached to it. And as you add more and more creativity, you can even tell the person that this will kill you, but the person will still take it and die. Are you following what I'm saying? You know, on cigarettes, they've written smoking kills. They'll tell you that smoking is not good for health. But guess what? They are still smoking. Are you following what I'm saying? So a husband, one of the things a husband has to do is to communicate creatively and often with passion what the Lord has put in his heart. Yeah. And it will help you. When you do that, your wife will catch on with what is going on and not rather be uninterested or not know what to do with what is going on. And guess what? Because now you are speaking and now she catches on it, she's going to go deeper into it. Her heart will be knit to it. There are things she will do that you will not think that you ever needed help along those lines. But she'll be doing it because her heart has entered it. Does it make sense? What I'm saying is not like my perception. It's actually the scriptures. It's not what I think it should be. It's from the scriptures. Amen. If you look at the first Adam, right? You can see from the way Eve was speaking that she hadn't gotten the information very well because God talked to Adam. Let me take my time. I'm assuming that you know about Adam and Eve. But nowadays, I'm not assuming people read their Bibles, right? Now, the story about Adam and Eve is such that when God created the man, he made the man first and told the man what he told him. So he gave the man the instruction. Then God said that it's not good that the man is alone. So it is God who said that the man needs a helpmeet. Are you following what I'm saying? Yeah. For what God has told the man to do. So he said it's not good that man should be alone, all one. I'll make him an helpmeet. Are you getting it? Then the man was put to sleep. So the man did not have any contribution in the making of the woman. He didn't define how the woman should be. And if God is the one who said that I'm giving you a helper, it means that there is a limitation that you don't even know you have. And I am designing for that limitation to be helped. Does it make sense? Yeah. So it is not, if you brought help for someone, let's say your child needs help, and you bring a helper, the child may not understand the full capacities of the helper. Are you getting it? Because you, the person bringing the help, understand the need that may not be apparent to the child. Does it make sense? When God made Adam, he said there should be a helper. But the helper was designed by God whilst Adam was asleep.
Does it make sense? So now after making the woman, he brought the woman to the man. And the man, when he opened his eyes from sleep and saw the woman, he said, "Who, man?" And saw that she says that, and the Lord God said, "It's not good that man should be alone. Go to her." And the Lord caused, no, next verse. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Right? Next verse. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bone." Because initially when God said he needed a helper, the first thing God brought was animals. And the man was not able to find any of them as a suitable helper for him. Are you following what I'm saying? Then he went to sleep and then God made a woman, etc. Now he says, he wakes up and says that this is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. It means that the woman is not inferior to the man, but on another level. This is now bone of my bone. It means that when he saw the monkey bone, it wasn't bone of his bone. Are you following what I'm saying? This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. It meant that the kind of flesh I have is the same kind of flesh this one also has. So it means the same emotions, the same structure, the same makeup. Make sense? She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Make sense? Next verse. Then he started prophesying. And that's the reason why we are marrying too. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother. So men have to leave the father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. It's not a marriage seminar. I don't want to enter into this part. Amen. Next verse. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and no ashamed. Next verse. Next verse is the next chapter. Are you following it? Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, "Yea, had God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden." So the serpent comes for a conversation, chat. Yeah, he sends a high and is having a conversation. And the conversation, listen carefully, the conversation is not something, you know, deception and disobedience are not the same. Deception is that it looks like the truth, but it is just deviating from it or taking out key elements, but it looks like it. Are you following what I'm saying? So he comes and he knows that this is something that they know about from God because they respect that. Then he says that, "Yea, had God said," the serpent is referring to what God has said. "Had God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" The question was very, like, oh, it's like an inquiry. Oh, is it true? Hey, I heard that your friend, what is going on in this place? I heard that, have you heard it before? The ladies know what I'm talking about. Hey, I heard that your friend, the boy says he likes, is it true? Why are we talking about this? Is it? But here it comes and says that, "Yeah, had God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden." Look at the next verse. "And the woman said unto the serpent," go back, let me see something. Yeah, so you see that his selection was to come and talk to the woman. And he said, "Unto the woman." Now, mind you, we can't go through everything because this is not my focus here. I'm just trying to help you appreciate very important things. Is that okay? The first thing I want you to recognize here is that when you read, you see it. The man and woman were at the same place. But the one that was being engaged in conversation was the woman. So it helps you to know that as a lady, you should be careful who you are engaging conversation with. Because the person you are going to engage in conversation can confuse you. Are you following what I'm saying? All right. And the response of the woman, verse 2 now. "And woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden." Next verse. "But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." Now, you have to read your Bible. What God said was not exactly what was said here. Some distortion is in here. God said that you should actually touch it and take care of everything, but just don't eat it. But in the repetition, he says that you shall not eat it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Because God said that you should take care of all... Okay, let's look at it. Those people are looking at me, I'm not sure. Genesis chapter 2. Let's look at where God gave the instruction and what he said. When he put him in the midst of the garden. Genesis 2, verse what? 16. "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying," the what? "The man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat." You can eat of any of the trees. I get in it. Next verse. "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." So don't eat it, if not you die. But in the repetition, you hear, don't eat it, don't touch it, lest you die. Then look at the next verse. Genesis chapter 3, verse 4 now. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. You shall not surely die. Look at the next verse. For God doeth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Next verse. And the woman, when he saw the tree, was good for food. Now, she had been informed. Desire had come. So now she looked at the tree again. When she saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the food thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her. Not she went to look for the husband in town or at the farm. And he ate it and was like, ah, Eve, what did you give me? No, he gave to the husband with her and he did eat. Amen. Then their eyes will open and all that. So in this case, you see the man dying with the woman. Yes. The scripture says that for by one man's disobedience, Romans chapter 5, verse 16, verse 18, verse, there are many of them. Romans chapter 5. I want you to see that man disobeyed. All right. 12. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So you see, the man took the action. Actually, when the woman ate it, you didn't say they died. It is when the man took the fruit that he said they died, because God had commanded the man. Make sense? Now, because of his disobedience, look at the next verse. For unto the law, next verse, I want to show you the disobedience part. 19, verse 19. I have to go straight. For as by one man's disobedience, are you seeing it? Many were made what? Sinners. That one man is what? Adam. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Are you seeing it? So in the conversation of that first Adam, you see a lot of the woman talking. And you see the man not talking much. Are you seeing it? Because most of the time, we don't see the man talking much in the old. But there's a second Adam or the last Adam. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's read from verse maybe 45. Let me see. Let me show you something. Look for 1 Adam, last Adam. Just so that people understand that there's 1 Adam, last Adam in the Bible. 45, right? And so it was written, the first man, Adam. The first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. All right? This is all in your Bible, by the way. And this is referring to Jesus. The last Adam is referring to Jesus. So there's a message on it called The Two Men and the Two Acts. Get a message, listen to it. And you must be committed to doing such things. If not, you always not understand what is going on in the Bible. In fact, there are some things you must learn. There are some stories you should know very well in the Bible. I'm not saying these are the only things you should know. I'm saying that these are things you can start by studying. You should know the story very well. You should know about Adam and Eve. Very important. Take your time to read it. Read it in a version you can understand and appreciate. Don't read, if you realize that King James or literature is not something that is a strong word, don't impress the Bible and don't impress other people. Just change the version and read something that you can understand. Because the aim of talking is for understanding, not to impress you. So read about Adam and Eve. Take your time and see how it unfolded very well. Does it make sense? Another person you should read about, you should write it down somewhere. Another person you should read about and know his story very well is Abraham. Know about Abraham. You know, we are called the seed of Abraham. In fact, you cannot, many of the things that are referred to in our Christian work is connected to Abraham. So it's not only your friend AB that you should know. You should be more interested in knowing about Abraham in the Bible. Know the story about Abraham. Know what happened where. Let it become a story that you know. Like, investigate the story so that I know where he came from, what is going on, what was said. So that anytime a reference is made about him, you can understand what's going on. Because we are the seed of Abraham. We also have what is called the blessing of Abraham. The blessing of Abraham. We are actually said to be of faith, just like Abraham. Abraham is actually spoken of as the father of faith. The faith you have been hearing, you know, the father of faith is Abraham. Amen. So at least you should know something about Abraham so that you're not confused. If not, any reference that is made about Abraham, you'll not get it. You'll not appreciate what is going on. Are you following it? Another person you should do a good study on. And you see, as your pastor, it means that we are going to do this study. We are going to make sure we do this study. Yeah, I'm not a teacher, I'm a pastor. The third person you know about is Moses. Moses, not your ex. I'm talking about the one in the Bible, Moses. Moses. You should know about Moses. Are you following what I'm saying? It's a very important figure. You've heard about law, grace. You've heard about Red Sea, wilderness. Some people say, I'm in the wilderness experience in my life. I mean, so many references. But you don't even know what really went on. Take your time to read about Moses. Right? It's very important. Because when you read about Moses, you come to see the church. In fact, the whole of the Old Testament, the only group that was referred, the only time that the church was used in reference to the Old Testament was about Moses and the Israelites at that time. It were called the church in the wilderness. I think Acts chapter 7, verse 38, somewhere there. I can't remember. Yes. This is he. You're talking about Moses. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel that spake unto him in Mount Sinai. So you see that when the Israelites moved out of Egypt into the wilderness, they were called the church. They were the called out ones. Are we the church today? Jesus said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Jesus didn't say you build any other thing. He said you build a church. And Moses was also connected to the church. So I don't know how you are a church and you don't know about Moses' church. Because many references are made. Moses had a mountain, Mount Sinai. We in Christ also have a mountain, Mount Zion. They had lively oracles. They had the law. We have grace. There's a lot of comparison between them and us. A lot. So I don't know how you can be a Christian for a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, and you really don't know in the story well. You just know one story, one thing. You have not taken time to look at the whole story about Moses. What really was going on? The story. At least just to get the idea of how his life was, what went on, etc. You should be interested. In fact, 1 Corinthians chapter, I think chapter 10, right? Almost the whole chapter is about the church in the wilderness and how those things affect us or has affected us today. It's not random. Christianity, the walking with the Lord, it's not a random thing. In fact, it's still on the same point. So you need a shepherd who will, what's the point again? Need a shepherd to present him or her to the Lord. I'm actually trying to explain that to you, and you bet you understand it in a bit. But all that I'm talking about is connected to this. Because God loves you, but you don't know about it. You are now getting to know about it more and more. And you may not know how to, he says to present, the church is to be presented to him, a glorious church. Not just to present yourself, I've come as I am. And some people say that God knows how I am. He takes, why did they even say it? The Lord knows my heart. I've got it. There's a phrase people use a lot that God accepts you as you are, something like that. You come as you are. And come as you are is powerful, but it's not where God wants you to be. Don't come instead. Come as you are, but don't stay where you are. Do you understand what I'm saying? Come as you are, true, but don't stay as you are. You are supposed to change. So you have come with all sorts of behavior and you feel like that's how I am. No. And you have stayed there. You are still unloving, difficult, angry, confused. Oh no, there's supposed to be a change. And the change happens by the word spoken in love. So there's a way to be presented. So many times you can say, I love the Lord, I want to do things for the Lord. But you find that you are not able to do many things. You have promised God many things, but you have not done a lot of them. Have you noticed it? God, if you do this, I'll do this. If you do this, I'll do that. It's still a growing list. It's still a growing list. Have you noticed it? Yeah. You can be a Christian for 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, and how you were is how you are, unchanging. Meanwhile, the scriptures actually and the walk with God is supposed to make a change in your life. And sometimes you can even get frustrated because it's not like you don't want to be a better person, no, but you are frustrated about it. You don't know how to get better. Listen, I'll never do it again. Lord, if you take me out of this problem, I'll never do it again. Then you find yourself going back. You need a shepherd. What you didn't know is that you need a shepherd that will help present you. You don't present yourself. And the reason for presenting is to so that you are without spot and wrinkle. I'll come there. Let me take my time. Are you following what I'm saying? All right. So all that I'm going to share, we're going to read right now, is so connected to Moses and the church in the wilderness. Imagine you go to heaven and all the things you are complaining about was in the Bible. Hey, to be painful. That's why in heaven there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Because like, this thing I could have done it. Let me give you a classic way to see it. Have you written an exam? Right? I've not finished the example, cry. Or you have already got what I'm going to say. You already know what I'm talking about. You wrote the exam, wrote it, tale, you killed the paper. You came out. And then we're having discussions and comparing notes. Then you saw the question somewhere. Then you realize that you deviated completely. Hey, you deviated fully. It's very painful. So though you have finished the exam and you started by celebrating because you are done, you realize that now you are not really happy. Have you noticed it? That is what we mean by you will go to heaven because you are born again. And the ticket to heaven was not from you. The ticket to heaven was from Jesus Christ. He paid it all. He made sure he paid it all. So on his side, he's done. You going to heaven, done deal. For our conversation is of heaven. We may not understand conversation. That's why you shouldn't read King James if you are not sure what it's talking about. Conversation is not talking about talking. This is what it means. But we are citizens of heaven. Yeah, there's another one where they use conversation and it's misleading because of our current English. Not that what they wrote there was wrong. The time and what they were writing, the kind of English it was, that was the meaning. That's how they spoke. Now, because of the way we speak, it's not connecting with some of the things and the words they use. That's why we change the version. The change of version is not a new Bible. The change of the version is to get it in the language that is current. That's why we have versions. Some of the versions are translations. Some of them are interpretations. What it means is that some of them are actually translating according to what has been said. Some of them are interpreting it, as in they are re-saying it in a way to communicate the same idea, but sometimes they miss some of it. So some use them to study. That's why you shouldn't be a Christian with just one version. Your clothing in Christ is not even one version. Your hair is not one version. Your food is not one version. You have various versions. Yeah. And if the word of God is most important to your life, you must it be something that you have invested yourself in. Are you following what I'm saying? Beautiful. See, but we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. Give me another. No. The same. Give me another. Yes, amplified is what I'm looking for. But we are citizens of the state, commonwealth, and homeland, which is in heaven. And from it also, we earnestly and patiently await the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we are citizens. It's not like we will become citizens. We are citizens, and it's because of Jesus. Is it clear? So going to heaven is not the aim of Christianity, because as soon as you give your life to Christ, that is done. But there is another thing, and we will come to that in a bit. And that is what many Christians rather don't know about. Imagine you went to write a paper and you wrote nothing because you didn't realize that you were writing a paper and the time ended. Or you missed the exam. You missed the whole exam. That's why we come to church. It's so that we don't miss, we understand what is going on and know how to act on it. I'm coming to it in a bit. But that's another side. That's point 6 or 7. Right. But I'm on point 5. The point 5 has to do with, you know the Lord loves you. You don't even know how to enjoy it. So you are struggling with something that's supposed to be a love relationship. So something that's supposed to be easy is rather what you are struggling with. It's like you don't know how to receive love. You don't know how to relate. You are struggling. Not because God doesn't love you, but you don't know how to accept his love and flow in it. So you are lacking intimacy. So when we're reading about Ephesians chapter 5, he was calling out you're talking about Christ calling out the church and presenting it to himself, as in putting him in a place where they can enjoy deeper intimacy. Are you following what I'm saying? All right, I'll come back to it. But I've gone back a bit because I'm trying to make sure that you understand where we are coming from. So that when we start talking about intimacy, you can be free in your mind to enjoy the Lord. Many Christians are enduring God instead of enjoying him. They are not sure about his love as much They don't know what to do with it. It's like it is too good to be true. It's like I don't know what it's difficult for many Christians, and it's also because they've not learned to accept love. They need to be trained, and that's where a shepherd comes in. Is that okay? So just to make sure that we are on the same page in explaining what the scripture is about, I'm trying to give you a background about the first Adam and the second Adam, then the last Adam. Are you following it? And I spoke about Adam and Eve. Do you remember that one? Then I'm trying to help you understand the last Adam. And I showed it to you in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 right now. Whilst I was doing that, I said that there are certain stories you should get acquainted with. And the reason why you need to get acquainted with some of these stories is that some of these ones I'm mentioning right now are key or foundational in your understanding of many things in the scriptures. Because reference is made to these stories over and over and over again. And I've mentioned, who are those I've mentioned? I've mentioned what? Adam and Eve. I've mentioned Abraham. I've mentioned Moses. And in Moses, I was even trying to show you how that a whole chapter in the New Testament is referring to us. And I just want to show you that before I mention the other groups of people you should learn about. Is that okay? So now 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Moreover, brethren, let's give the lighter version, NLT. I don't want you to forget, dear brothers and sisters, about our ancestors in the wilderness long ago. King James says ignorant. Because there are many Christians that are ignorant about this. You know every other thing about these kind of things. And it's not correct. So as your shepherd, we are trying to bring you to know and not forget and not take it for granted. Is that okay? All right. All of them were guided by a cloud that moved ahead of them, and all of them walked through the sea on dry ground. If you've done baptism, you quickly realize that we are talking about water baptism, Holy Ghost baptism here. That's the similarity. What they experienced there on our side is water baptism and Holy Ghost baptism. Next verse. In the cloud and in the sea, all of them were baptized as followers of Moses. We are followers of Jesus Christ. All right, next verse. All of them ate the same spiritual food. Jesus said that man shall live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Next verse. And all of them drank the same spiritual water. Do not be drunk with wine originally wherein it is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. The drinking of the water is actually the Holy Spirit. He says, for they drank from that spirit, the spiritual rock that traveled with them. And that rock was Christ. Now, you may not even know that there was a rock because you've not read the story. So you are reading the Bible here and you cannot understand what is going on because you don't even know what really happened at that time. But for those who can remember, do you remember Moses struck a rock and water came? That's the rock they are talking about. And that rock is Christ. That's what it is. And that rock was Christ. Are you following it? Next verse. Yet God was not pleased with most of them, and their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Next verse. These things, this is what I want to show you. These things happen as a warning to us, so that we would not crave evil things as they did. Change the version for this. King James back. Go back. Now, these things were our examples. I just wanted to show you that the thing that I'm telling you to read about, these stories, gives you examples so that you know how to walk with the Lord and you're not confused. Is that okay? So Moses is another very important person to learn from. Another very important person to learn is David. David. Read about who? David. Very important. David is a very important. In fact, the king priesthood is because of David. You don't even know what priest. You only know of fetish priest or you know of something else. But you may not understand that actually Jesus is a high priest. When you think of high priest, you also think of rather high priestess in a certain clan. And so you always have the wrong idea and not what it really is. But Jesus is our high priest. Now, you have a high priest too. When someone says, let's go to some fetish priest somewhere, say, I have a high priest. Yeah, I have a high priest and he's working for me. Amen. So David is a very important person to learn and read about to understand what really went on. Is that okay? Because Jesus said that you come and sit on the throne of David. The throne of David. He said you come and sit on the throne of David. It's wild. Another very important person to read about is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is another very important person to do a good study on. Jesus Christ. I mean, if you're a Christian, you have not read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John for yourself, analyzing or following the story about Jesus. Receive grace to do that. Yeah, receive grace to do that. Because that is Jesus. I don't know who else you want to read. don't know if you follow what I'm saying. Yeah, Matthew gave an account, Luke gave an account, Mark gave an account, John gave an account. All of them are nice, connected. Read about them. It will help you. So that you better appreciate. You know when you want to know something about someone, you see how the person reacts to things. Then you say things like, ah, this person is like this. It is because of something you saw or heard him do or say. Are you following it? Yeah. So you get to know a person from what he says and is doing. Is that okay? So Acts was written by Luke. The one who wrote Luke is the same one who wrote Acts. Is that okay? Look at what he said in Acts 1:1. NLT. Look at it. In my first book, which is the Luke that you know, I told you Theophilus. So Luke is a book where Dr. Luke was writing to his friend Theophilus about all the various things that have happened about Jesus Christ. So he read the first book, which was called Luke. Then he wrote another book to his friend Theophilus, which was called Acts. Is that okay? In my first book, I told you, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began to do and teach. Are you seeing it? What he was doing and what he was saying. So you get to know what Jesus did and said from reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So it's something to read about and study. Is that okay? Another very important figure or person to study or know about is Paul. Is who? Paul. Most of the New Testament is written by Paul. Most of it. Most of it. So when you take your Bible and you know these people's story very well, to a large extent, you start to appreciate a lot of things much better. Is it clear or not clear? Beautiful. Can I continue? Don't worry. You know, we are in a church by the grace of God. So we are going to make sure we are all going to read. Yeah, that's the most practical thing to do. I don't know what else we should do as a church. All right? So let's go back to what I was saying. So I was talking about Adam. Now I'm talking about the last Adam. Do you appreciate that the last Adam is Jesus Christ? Can I appreciate that? Now when Jesus came, right, he also talked about a bride. Talked about the church. Talked about all that. But you see, in this case, I'm just giving a very simple comparison just to help you. You see Jesus talking a lot more. He's saying a lot of things. And he's the one washing the bride, preparing the bride to present it to himself. I get in it. He's the one that has protected us from the harm or the influences of the devil and all that. In the first Adam, the Adam was just there. The devil was talking to the wife. He was just watching. He was there. He was watching the whole conversation. It means anything. Like, oh, the devil said that. Is it true that God? And they're having a conversation. He's just there. In the New Testament, that devil has been put down by the second Adam. He's the last Adam, rather, and the second man. He puts the devil aside, deals with him, puts him under his feet, and says, resist the devil, and that he has given all authority and power. And said that the devil does not have any conversation with you anymore. So he makes sure that his church, which is his bride, does not have any conversation with the devil. They are not on the same level. They cannot have... So you realize that even though Jesus has done it, the church does not know what he has done. So they are behaving as though they are like the people in the garden. Are you following what I'm saying? But actually, you are out of that, and he has placed you, he has made you sit high above principalities and powers and every high thing. And he's the one who talked the most. If you look, he talked the whole half other part of the Bible. And he tells you to focus on what he has said. When you focus on what he has said, you know what to do. When you focus on what he has said, you know what to do. Your victory is in hearing what he has said. Are you seeing it? And the reason for it was for intimacy. He came for intimacy. We've been taught about eternal life. John chapter what? 15, verse 5, I think. Or verse 3, one of them. 17, rather. Sorry, John 17, 3, I think. Aha. And this is life eternal, or this is eternal life, like we know it. That they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So, eternal life is actually for knowing the Lord intimately. The Lord has known you. The Lord has given himself for you. I get in it. So, Adam didn't give himself. He died with. Jesus died for. Are you seeing it? Adam died with Eve. Jesus died for the church. So, the church will be alive. So that they can continue in intimacy. Because when Adam died with Eve, he started accusing Eve right after. And saying that, it's the woman you gave me. But that's why there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Because when you come to come to Jesus, he is not dying with the church. He died for the church. And has given all things that pertains to life and godliness to the church. And it is because he wants to have a continuous, unbroken relationship with the church. Now, it is dependent on the church how far or how interested the person is. That will determine the depth of the relationship. So now, there's nothing that can stop you from relating with the Lord. Nothing stops you. No sin stops you. No sin. That's what he came for. What did Jesus come and die for? He came to die because of sin. To say that you are a sinner after Jesus Christ has died for sin is to say that the work of the devil in the garden is stronger and mightier than the work of Jesus on the cross. He was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. Look for it for me. It's a scripture. All I'm saying is scriptures. One of the ways to fall in love with scriptures is to have it around you a lot of times. Desire. Remember. Sometimes you're wondering why is it that I'm not really reading the Bible so much? Why? It's because you don't have a community of believers who are interested in the Bible, and you have not surrounded yourself with things that will bring your mind to the Word of God over and over again. The only time you hear things about the Word of God is when we are here. So 80-90% of your time, 95% of your time, is outside God's Word. Then 5-3-2-1.5% of your time is in the Word of God. So you don't have a desire for it. You don't have a desire for it. Most of us like eating rice nowadays, this generation and below. We like eating rice nowadays more because when we're growing, that's what they kept giving us. Those who are given other variety cannot always eat rice. But those who have been eating rice, as they started growing, that's the only thing they are. When their default is, even if they eat banku and okra soup, they have to eat rice. Oh, is it true or is it not true? Where's the lie? It's because you have done it over and over. So your body feels like this is what is called food. Any other thing is not food. So it can be full, but it's like, I've not eaten. Something is missing. But I thank God for the renewing of the mind. Hallelujah. He that committed sin is of the devil. For the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose. For which purpose? What's the purpose? The purpose is because of sin. Are you seeing it? For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested. Manifested is not a spooky word. Manifested means that he came around. He showed himself. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. What was the work of the devil? Sin. Is it clear or not clear? Okay, let's look at another version if it will help us. Easy English, eh? Let's do easy English. Easy English. But some people go on doing what is wrong. Those people belong to the devil. The devil has been doing wrong things from the start. This is why the Son of God came. This is why. He's trying to give you how things have gone. You know, before Jesus came, nobody was a child of God. We're all children of the devil. You didn't even know how terrible state you were in. You are children of the devil full time. So when you are going home, you are going home to the devil. That's why Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil. And the works of him you do. That's why being born again is a very crucial thing for everyone. You have a friend, you have a brother, you have a sister who has not accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. You should be interested. Because when you are finally going home, you will not be in the same home. You may be sleeping with each in the same house. You may be going to town. You may be having great moments together. But if he's unborn again, he has not given his life to Christ. The day you have to go to the real home, you realize that one will go this way, one will go another way. Is that serious? And for such a serious matter, God was not going to put it in your hands to solve it. Because you couldn't have solved it. He handled it. So when it comes to sin, anytime we think of sin, think of Jesus Christ. He's the one who deals with sin. You can't deal with sin. That's why he came. If you could have handled it, there was no point Jesus coming down. God shouldn't come down for what you can do. God shouldn't come down for what you can do. We said it many times. Righteousness is a beautiful thing. It's called the gift of righteousness. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. Go there. Romans 5, 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of and of the... So it's not the earnings of righteousness. It's not the pay of righteousness. It's not the achievement of righteousness. It is the gift of righteousness. Do you pay for a gift? We never pay for a gift. You never pay for a gift. A gift means that a gift doesn't mean that there's no cost. No, a gift doesn't mean that it was free. There was no cost. There was a cost. A gift means that the cost is borne by another person. I got this for you. The cost was on me. The enjoyment is for you. I got this perfume for you. The cost is on me. The enjoyment is for you. Nobody buys a gift to you and comes to take it that I'm also want to use some. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it. I realized that. I'm sorry. But that's how it's supposed to be. Yeah. When you buy a gift, you don't go and say that, you know, the gift I bought for you, let's use it. And you end up using it even more than a person. Please. 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 Our gift. You bought a gift that says, our gift. No. Jesus, thank God, God is not a man. Like some of us. Hallelujah. We are changing. It's the gift of righteousness. It means that when it comes to righteousness, everything about righteousness, there was no payment on your side. Not even one. The enjoyment, full on your side. The enjoyment of righteousness is fully on your side. The cost of righteousness is fully on his side. Hallelujah. It's called the gift of righteousness. And what is the effect of the gift of righteousness? It says, when you receive abundance of grace, all right, and of the gift of righteousness, it says, shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. It means that you are able to experience the best in life because of this abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Then you are able to enjoy the best in life. So when you realize you are not enjoying the best in life, it's because you are not taking advantage of the abundance of grace and you are not recognizing the gift of righteousness. Now, think about it. Most of you don't understand what righteousness is about. Listen, I'm saying gift of righteousness. You may not, when I ask you what's righteousness, you may not fully understand it. You need to bring your mind to it. Your part as a Christian is to bring your mind to it. That I really want to understand what the Lord has done for me. Which brings me to the point five I'm trying to explain. Because every sheep needs a shepherd to present him or her to the Lord. The Lord has already accepted you, but to present you to the Lord is to match his energy, to bring you to a place where you can now have that intimacy that he's designed for. He didn't die for you to stay where you are. He died for you to elevate you to a place where you can have a lot of conversation, a lot of intimacy, a lot of enjoying of life together. Jesus is not waiting for you to get to heaven before they enjoy life. He's waiting for you to, he wants you to start experiencing him here, now. Some of the reasons why you need a shepherd, the previous one, some of them you realize that the shepherd comes to help you to get something done, leading and guiding, protecting and caring, etc. But those things are effects. How is the shepherd able to do those things that you are not able to help yourself with, considering the fact that he's also a human being? Where is he getting the energy from? Where is he getting the idea from? Where is he getting the supply from? The person may even be doing the same work you are doing by supplying for your need. You may be in the same class, but the person solves your problems. You wonder, where is he getting that from? How is he able to do that? He's getting it because of a certain understanding in his walk with the Lord. Are you getting what I'm saying? And one of the roles he has in your life, or she has in your life, is to also elevate your walk with the Lord to this place where you can now also enjoy some of these things directly. Do you understand? So it's important that your shepherd raises you to present you to the Lord. Now, it's all over scriptures. All over the scriptures. Right? And in presenting you to the Lord, there are things that should change around you. That's why you realize that a shepherd will mention some things. He'll say that, do this. Sometimes say that, let's pray for the next 5 days on this matter. Let's do 21 days of the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
You must give yourself for such things. We just did something like that. Today is the last day. Today is the 21st day. Today is the 21st day. But you see, you may be somebody here and it's like it was never said. But you see, that is the reason for that activity was because it will help you in your walk with the Lord. You can't walk with the Lord on your own. Look, even the school that you went to, right? You can't even study on your own and pass. You needed lecturers, you needed group studies, you needed material. You could have gone to buy the thing online or look for the book and read it and say you are going to write, but it will not be easy for you. If human study, you needed help to be able to understand and be able to become whatever degree you got and all that. How much more the Word of God? It's something to study. It's something to know, but you need to be guided. You need to be helped. Are you following what I'm saying? So your character, intimacy with the Lord, enjoying righteousness, enjoying grace. That's the whole point of the shepherd. You see, when you have a shepherd, your appreciation of the love of the Father increases. You may not know how to do something. On your own, you may not fast. On your own, you may not read the Bible. Or on your own, you may not read certain things that are important. I just mentioned to you certain people you read about very well. You might have heard about all of them, but most of you may not have read it before. Taking your time to really read it. A shepherd around you will notice that you have a challenge with accepting love. He will show you a scripture or two, or show you that, and then tells you that, oh, go on this retreat. We'll teach you how to go on a retreat. I have taught my sheep many times how to go on a retreat. I've taught my sheep how to read Bible. I've taught my sheep many things. Aside helping them and being a blessing, one of the key reasons or my key responsibilities is to get them to know the Lord for themselves. Not to me. I am not the focus. Jesus is the focus. To present him or her to the Lord. So not to me. So the shepherds are not trying to raise you to themselves. They are trying to raise you to the Lord. So that you and your as the effect, the good effect is that as you walk in life, you start to have a better appreciation of your love for the Lord. Sometimes you can sing a song loving the Lord and not everything, but you realize that what you are singing about is not what you are doing. Have you noticed it before? You are not doing it at all. Your mind is somewhere. You want to, but it's like you are struggling. There's a big difference between pastoring or shepherding and teaching. You know, I can teach you. I tell you what to do and I'm left. When you are shepherding, you show what to do. That's what I'm saying, that if you're talking about reading these books, reading this about this, the next practical thing to do as a shepherd is to create the avenue for every person under you to know it. But on the sheep level or on your level, you need to now accept that this is something that's going to train me. Because I have different kinds of desires. Do you know you have a lot of desires that are not correct? Have you noticed that you have a lot of desires that are not correct? So many desires that are not in line with God's word or what you are looking for. All right, now let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8. It's my first scripture here. By it to work. Wherefore, this is Jesus. Jesus was ascending, all right, and he says some things here. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Let's change the version. Something simpler. Verse 8. Yeah, NLT is fine. That is why the scriptures say, when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people. He gave what? Gifts to his people. Jump to verse 11. These gifts he gave to his people. Look at it. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. He wants to give some gifts to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Anytime you see any of these people, they are gifts of Christ to you. You should have this in your life. They came because they are gifts of Christ to you. Is that okay? What are they there for? What are they there for? You know, when you get a gift, it's for a reason. Nobody gives you a gift that has no use. If you get a gift that you cannot use for anything, it's not important. But a gift is actually to help you. Now, what is the essence of this gift? The next verse. Their responsibility. Their what? Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Now, take your time here. The gift has a work for you. When you spray perfume, the work of the perfume is to give you good scent. If not giving you good scent, you will use it again. Are you getting it? So the gift is for a good thing in your life. Is that okay? Somebody can give you a gift of gym equipment. Right? And it's a gift. Because the person realized that you must exercise. Yeah, because when you climb stairs, the stairs here, 1, 2, you are tired. 1, 2 steps, you are tired, you are panting. Gives you a skipping rope. Right? And the reason for the skipping rope is so that you can skip. Now, when Jesus was leaving, he felt that there were some gifts he needed to give. And the reason he gave these gifts was because he needed you to be equipped. To equip means that you have the ability to do it. If I tell you drink water right now, you can drink water. If there's a bottle of water by and I say drink water, you can take it and drink it, isn't it? If you're on a desert and I tell you drink water, it may not be as easy. If there's no water around you, it's difficult, isn't it? So remember that their responsibility is to equip. To equip means that you have all the necessary energy, the necessary help, the necessary things that can aid you to get there. Christianity is not a struggle. I used to think that Christianity is one of the most difficult things to do. I used to think like that. Yes. That following the Lord is a narrow and difficult road. So I went to read a scripture and the Holy Ghost corrected me with that scripture. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Matthew 11, 28. Then Jesus said, come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I'll give you rest. Pause. Let's look at the picture. If I tell Rad, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, he's saying that where you are, you are weary and you carry a heavy burden already. Whatever thing you think that is normal. Somebody says it's easier to sin than to live in the Lord. Have you heard it before? You might have even said it before, or you still think like that. Yeah, he's saying that state where you think you are is easier to live that way. He's saying that you are weary and you are carrying heavy burdens. He says, come to me and I will give you rest. So coming to the Lord is for rest. It's not for pressure. It's for rest. Are you following it? Look at the next verse. 29. Take my yoke upon you. When he says take my yoke, it means that you already have a yoke. But take your own off and take my own. It means that every person has a yoke on him. And a yoke, not egg yoke. It's not egg yoke. So sometimes when you read such a thing, you must check what it is. Don't assume that, oh, it's just a word they put there for something and then you assume and go. You are not studying scripture. And you are not going to understand what he's communicating to you. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you. Imagine an example when someone says, let me teach you. Or you are trying to study. No, that example is bad. The way some people are happy, it has revealed your heart. But is that what you are looking for? You are supposed to study before the exam. Now, if you are not understanding something that is being taught, you ask somebody to teach you. Right? It's even nicer when the person sees you and says, I want to teach you this thing. Oh, teach me. Especially the best students in the class call you that, oh, I want to teach you about this. And you come freely, you'll be happy. Because what is going to be the effect of the teaching? Understand, you're going to get better, you're going to have understanding, you're going to move forward. I get it. So he says that, take my yoke upon you, let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart. So it means that how I'll handle you is the right way. Yeah. How I'll handle you is the right way. And you will be able to find rest for your soul. And then that your soul was not at rest. I'm going to read a message very soon. Let's go to the next verse. Are you seeing it? So this is rest. And this is the reason why you need a shepherd to aid you in this one. Then he says that for my yoke is easy. It means that there are more difficult ones. My own is easy. Let me describe the yoke. The yoke was a wooden thing and sometimes a metal thing that hooks around the neck of oxen, usually connecting two of them. I get in it. And it was so that they could get certain things done. Now, generally, what people don't realize is that we are all yoked one way or the other. That's why sometimes you think that it's what I want to do that I'm doing. No. You are either doing the will of the devil or you are doing the will of the Lord. It's one of the two. Always. Me, I have my own will. That is how the devil is. Me and myself, I will do whatever I want to do. That is the devil's own. That is exactly his desire. That is him. Oh, Lord. I can't go into it today, but I'm just mentioning. Then there's also the yoke of the Lord. So you're always you. It's whose yoke are you going with? Are you getting it? So it tells you to take my yoke. Now, let's go back to that scripture. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. The burden I give you is light. Amen. That everybody actually has to have a burden. He said, bear you one another's burden, and so fulfill you the law of Christ. And the burden is not like it's a problem, there's weight on me, I don't know, I'm going to die. No, it's talking about purpose. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I gave you is light. It means that the one you had was heavy. I'm giving you a light one. Are you getting it? Because you have to have a burden. It's purpose. You have to have a sense of conviction about how life should, what you are supposed to, your purpose in life. Message version. Very nice. The message is a romantic one of this version. Matthew 11:28. Very nice. Are you tired? Worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Next verse. Walk with me and work with me. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. It means that you are not without an example. It means I will show you exactly how to do it. When I do it like this, you do it like this. When I do it like this, you do it like this. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. It's unforced. It just flows. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Next verse. Keep company with me and you learn to live freely and lightly. Many Christians don't know this because they don't have a shepherd. Now, I want to show you quickly in the next few verses. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 11, chapter 4, verse 11. I'll show you that the shepherds are the gifts. That's what I'm trying to show you in Ephesians chapter 4. When Christ was leaving, right, he noticed that this was an issue. So he said, I'm giving you gifts. And the gift, their responsibility, that's verse 12. Their responsibility is to equip you, is to enable you, is to bring you to that place. God's will to do his work and to build up the church. You are the church. So to build you up is to cause you to have the right kind of framework or the right way you are supposed to be. The body of Christ. Next verse. Verse 30 now. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith. So it's not something you do once and that's it. It will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son, that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. It may sound like a mouthful, but it's a lot of good things for you. Look at the next verse. Then, we will no longer be immature like children. This is where the message was supposed to start from. But that I'm not going to show you, so I probably have to continue next because my time is up. But so that you can see what he's talking about from here downward. That's why Paul writes. You know, most of the New Testament is a shepherd's note to his sheep to help his sheep get closer to the Lord. This point five is most part of the New Testament. And because when you are not into those kind of things, that's why most of the Bible you can't relate. Because every person who is growing, like Timothy, like all the various people that are growing in the Bible, they grew because somebody was helping them to know the Lord. Paul had an experience with God, but he was helped to know God. The Ethiopian eunuch had gone to worship and going home, but the Holy Ghost had to organize for a shepherd to come and help him to understand the scripture he's reading so that his relationship with the Lord will be, can you believe that is how he became born again? Without that experience, without that shepherd helping him to present him to the Lord, you would not have been presented to the Lord. Because you can't present yourself to the Lord. You can't say, I've presented myself to the Lord. No, you are presented by someone. An angel came to Cornelius and had to organize for shepherds to come and talk. He should go and look for his shepherd. He told Cornelius, go and look for your shepherd over here. And he will come and he will tell you things. And it is from those things that you now have the experiences with the Lord. All of them, at the end of the day, they had experiences with the Lord. But to have the experience with the Lord, they had to get the shepherd who is going to usher them to have an intimacy with the Lord for them to enjoy. So Peter comes and he's preaching to Cornelius and his whole household. And as he's preaching, he says, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them. While Peter yet spake these words, Acts chapter 10, I think 24, I think. While he spake the words, he's sharing. So you see your shepherd come and he's sharing, saying some very important thing like I'm saying today. Then the Holy Ghost comes upon you in a special way. Who is getting the experience? There, Because even Peter was, look at it, while Peter here spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them that which heard the word. So if you're not hearing the word, you're not going to have the Holy Ghost coming. So any other sheep that didn't make it for this meeting will not have this. That the Holy Ghost was to come upon them, emphatically so. Acts chapter 2 is when he wanted them to, all of them to have it. But they could only have it according to what they were hearing. And the shepherd that was helping them. And when you read the scriptures, you see it all around. So the experiences you are looking for with the Lord is in your shepherd. Look at it. Even look at Peter is the one who came. He didn't think that, he doesn't know exactly what will happen. He just has to do what God asked him to do. As he's doing it, look at it. The Holy Ghost fell on all them that heard it. Look at the next verse. And they of the circumcision, we believe, were astonished. Change the version, NLT, quickly. The Jewish believers who came with Peter were amazed that the gift of the Holy Ghost had been poured out on the Gentiles too. They were amazed, like, hey, what's going on? This something is only after that experience. It meant that what was happening to them at that point was not something that was happening to them necessarily at that time. It meant that they had had an experience with the Holy Ghost. They knew about that and all that. But they were now witnessed. So in the meeting, the shepherd was ministering, sharing, helping them to know the Lord. As that was happening, they had an experience. And it's not the shepherds had the experience. So they had an experience and the shepherds were watching. Like, wow, your life has changed. God is doing so many wonderful things. That's why you must give a testimony when things change in your life. Because not us, we are just presenting you to your Lord so that your Lord can have a certain kind of experience with you, and we will be there watching and thanking God. So when the testimony comes, we and you start thanking God. Even though we came to preach to you, we and you are all thanking God, because it's like, wow, this is what God is doing. He didn't know this was the experience that was going to happen. He had never even seen it before. But the key was that they had to accept their shepherds and say that, I accept this person as my shepherd. I accept that this is the shepherd that has been given to me, so that they can grow. And then other beautiful things happen. There are many examples. I couldn't get into that. From Paul, many. All, we can literally go through the whole New Testament and you see it happening over and over and over again. So I'm going to encourage you to read your Bible in Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless you for listening. We pray that the Word of God will be rooted and grounded in your heart as you give attention to the Word. Kindly follow Pastor T and Love Economy Church on all social networks for more of God's Word. Don't forget to subscribe to the Pastor T podcast. Simply search for Pastor T on any podcast app, plug in, and enjoy God's Word. Visit our website at loveeconomychurch.org for more information. God bless.